About 600 years before Christ, the nation of Judah was facing difficult times. The northern kingdom of Israel had already been taken into captivity by Assyria. Manasseh and his son Amnon were very wicked kings, and they had led the nation into idolatry. Young Josiah, the son and grandson of these two kings, struggled to do what was right. In the 13th year of Josiah's reign as king, God called a young priest to be his prophet. His name was Jeremiah. We're introduced to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and again in verses 4 and 5. A young man himself, he was around 20, he was hesitant to speak, according to chapter 1 and verse 6. But God did not accept the fact that he was young to be an excuse when God told him to do something. We see that in chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. In his first assignment as God's prophet, Jeremiah was sent with a message to Jerusalem, reminding them of their past unfaithfulness. Chapter 2 of Jeremiah, verses 1 and 3. The household of Jacob and all the families of the house of Israel were bemoaning their apostasy into idolatry. Jeremiah 2, verses 4 through 11. He was calling for the heavens to look on in astonishment and great fear as God caused his people, accused his people of committing two great evils. We find this in Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. The first thing that he said they had committed, the first great evil, was that they had forsaken their God, the fountain of living waters. Living water was used to denote springs, fountains, running streams, as opposed to stale or stagnant water. The second great evil was that they were hewing for themselves, or cutting out for themselves, broken cisterns that could not hold any water. These cisterns were tanks that were designed or cut out of rock to gather rainwater. And again, they were cut out of rock or stone. At best, they could only offer stagnant water. But these that they were making were broken with cracks, and they couldn't even retain water. So I want to ask you today, could we be guilty of similar evils today? You know, it's very possible that we could be guilty of forsaking God and hewing out for ourselves broken cisterns. I want to suggest to you that we can be guilty of these two great evils spoken of in Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. One, we can be guilty of forsaking the fountain of living waters. Israel forsook her fountain. God was Israel's fountain of living waters. They were reminded in Jeremiah 2 and verse 6 that it was he who had delivered them from Egyptian bondage. Also in verse 6, they were reminded that it was God who had led them through the wilderness in their wanderings. And in chapter 2 and verse 7, they were reminded that it was he who brought her as a nation into the land that flowed with milk and honey. Israel had forgotten God. Sad to say, we are a nation that at times appears to have forgotten God. They forgot her, beginning with her own priests and rulers, according to chapter 2 and verse 8. And this went from one generation to the next, according to chapter 2 and verse 9. Now, unlike other nations that were true to their gods, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, Israel had changed their glory, that is, God, into what did not profit them. Jeremiah 2, verse 11. So, do we forsake our fountain? We have our fountain of living waters, of which Jesus promised during his ministry. He promised it to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. In John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, he told her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." So he made this promise to the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. In John chapter 7, he made a promise also in his ministry to all who would believe him. In John 7 and verse 37 and 39, he says, "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now of this latter Jesus revealed to the Apostle John regarding our state between death and the resurrection in Revelation 7 verses 13 through 17, and regarding our eternal destiny in the New Jerusalem, Revelation 22 and verse 1. So, do we dare to forget God in our day and time, who through Jesus and His Spirit offers to us this eternal life, a fountain springing up into everlasting life? In John 4, remember He said that whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Rivers of living water flowing from our hearts. Again, we go back to John 7 and verse 38. Remember, Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Who through Jesus and his Spirit promises to us after this life to lead us to living fountains of water. Revelation 7 and verse 17. A pure river of water of life, proceeding from the throne of God that we read about in Revelation 22 and verse 1. But we face a very real possibility of departing from the living God. The Hebrew writer would tell us in chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Forsaking our fountain of living water occurs when we substitute it with broken cisterns that promise but do not ever deliver. Let's consider what Judah had done. First, they had forsaken the living water. Then, they were said that they were hewing cisterns that hold no water. Israel had broken her cisterns. They had done this by worshiping the false gods of the land, like Baal or Baal, however you want to pronounce it, Jeremiah 2 and verse 8. False prophets who spoke in the name of Baal, chapter 2 and verse 8. But also there was a false sense of prosperity that God had warned them about back in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verses 11 through 17, and then reminds them through Jeremiah in chapter 2 and verse 6. Israel had foolishly left God for what were very poor substitutes. Are we doing that today? Are we hewing broken cisterns in our day? We can be guilty of going after false gods today. Paul warns of this in Ephesians 5 and verse 5, Colossians 3 and verse 5. "Such false gods as materialism and immorality, which is a form of idolatry." So yes, we can be guilty of heeding false prophets or teachers. Peter would write in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." Who leads us away from God? I might suggest that it's anything that is not the truth of God's Word. Denominationalism or sectarianism. They teach things that are contrary to Jesus' prayer when he prayed for unity of the Spirit in John 17, verses 20 and 21. And there could be others that offer a false hope. New Agers, false religions, get-quick schemers, those that promise to be able to heal. We can be guilty of a false sense of prosperity. Read Revelation 3, verses 17 and 18. Believing, but we are spiritually insecure. We are in grave danger of falling. Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. And we can be guilty of leaving God for a poor substitute of true religion. Adam Clark wrote in his commentary about the description of the two evils that were committed by Israel. He says, first, they forsook God, the fountain of life, light, prosperity, and happiness. Secondly, they hewed out broken cisterns. They joined themselves to idols from whom they could receive neither temporal nor spiritual good. Their conduct was the excess of folly and blindness. Now, how much more would it be an excess of folly and blindness for us today to forsake God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit by neglecting our devotion and obedience to the Word of God? To spend more time drinking from broken cisterns that have stagnant and stale water, that is, the teachings and traditions of men, instead of the fountain of the living water, the living Word of God. You know, Judah was unfortunate. They were an unfortunate example for all that would come later as a warning as to where to get our water. And I pray you that we will always be open to the wonderful invitation that is extended at the end of the book of Revelation. Here we read in Revelation 22 and verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Are you drinking from the water of life? Or are you drinking from broken cisterns that can hold no water? Again, thank you for being with me today. If you have any questions about what's been said here today, feel free to look us up. You can look me up at church@eastside.com. You can look me up on Facebook. I'll be glad to sit down and answer any questions. You can leave a message on the website at the church. Again, anytime that you have any questions about what is taught here, feel free to ask, and I'll offer a Bible study with anybody that wants to sit down and study. Again, thank you for being with me today.